2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 1, the Word of God says, "And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." In other words, don't just send us, you go with us too now. And he answered, "I'll go." And so he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head flew into or fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, I like that phrase, I just like that phrase, the man of God. It wasn't just any old preacher man, just some brother so-and-so, you know, the pastor down there at the First Self-Righteous Church has been running up and down the streets in his short pants and smoking cigarettes and cussing and fooling around with the ladies. But it was the man of God that said this. The man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now everybody in here that knows anything about anything about anything at all knows that iron doesn't float. And all of you knows anything about iron knows iron ain't alive and it don't swim. But when the man of God, not the fellas running down there pastoring the First Self-Righteous Church, smoking cigarettes, wearing short pants, fooling around with the lady, when the man of God said to cast in the stick, the iron did swim. "Therefore," said he, "take it up to thee and put it on his hand." And he took it. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Now, the sons of the prophets are the students of a school of young preachers under the tutelage of this prophet Elisha. And this practice of teaching the young prophets was initiated by Samuel. And in this chapter we see the growth of this school, this Bible college, if you will, under the direction of Elisha. In fact, they had run completely out of room in the place where they assembled to sit and bear his teaching. Now it makes for real good preaching to say that these young preachers had got to the place where Elisha's preaching had gotten too straight and they couldn't handle it no more. But that ain't really what happened here. When they said the place where you dwell is too straight for us, they mean that this is not too narrow. There's not enough room for all of us to gather here to hear your teaching from the Word of God. And that we would like to go and build another place if it'd be all right with you. And he said, "Well, if you want to go, you go ahead." They said, "Now, but we're not going without you." Said, "You'll have to go with us. We're not going to change the schools and we're not going to go off somewhere or another and wait for Dr. Smile Fungus to come by and teach us. We're only going to go if you'll come and continue to teach us there." In other words, we want to know that you're certain that God will be in that just like He was in this. And so it's really a good motive that they have here in doing what they're doing. And so he said, "I will go also with you." And the Scripture said that they went down and decided to go down near Jordan and build a new building in which to meet and learn from the prophet. Elisha agrees to go with them. As they set in the building, however, one of the prophets swings his axe and the head flies off into the river and out of sight. Elisha then causes it to swim to the top and to be recovered. Now the application for the story is this. The axe head is a type of the anointing of God. Without the axe head, a man can flail away at the trunk of a tree, but all he'll do is get bruised hands and a broken axe handle. I mean, the handle is no good without the axe head. And so the servant of God is no good without the anointing of God. He may try to work. He may put forth an effort. He may give his very best, but all you'll get without the anointing of God is bruised hands and a broken handle. Amen. You'll be broken and bruised and beaten and whipped just like two men that gets into a boxing match and they go 12 rounds and they declare the match a draw and nobody won and nobody's lost. All you got two beat up, bloodied up, bruised people that wish that had never started. Amen. I mean, friend, that's where you are. And when you try to do the work of God without the power of God, that's where you wind up. And so the axe head is the anointing of God. And friend, you may go to work in the house of God, and you may give your best effort to your work, but you'll never be effective without anointing. Good illustration that's found in the book of Acts, chapter number 19. There are seven vagabond Jews, the Scripture calls them, that set in to cast out demons of a possessed man. Now, they'd seen Paul preach on Jesus, and they'd seen him cast out demons. And they said to the possessed man, the tormented man, the Scriptures call him, I said, we adjure thee by Jesus, whom Paul preaches, have come out of man. Well, the devil spoke out of him and said, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you? Woo! Amen! They were a wailing away, weren't they? They had the axe handle. They were trying to chop down the tree. But when they got to my friend, whenever they came in contact with the devil without an axe handle, that devil come across that one man, and he whipped all seven of them, and they left the dwelling of that place. The Bible says, naked and wounded. He stripped their clothes off and beat the devil out of them seven prophets, because they had an axe handle, but no axe handle. They had the Word of God. That's the axe handle, friend. But they had no power of God. They had no anointing. We'll have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You've got to have an axe handle and an axe head. Amen. It's not enough just to have the truth. It's not enough just to have that axe handle. If you don't have the axe head, the anointing of God, you'll never be effective in this life. You'll never be effective in this life. We cannot do the work of God on our own. It is an impossibility. It's not an improbability. It's an impossibility. We've tried to take it over. We think we've figured out how to save people, how to disciple people, how to preach to people, and how to run the church. And God stepped back and He's let His hands off of it. And He said, you know how to do it so much, just do it. And He's given it to us, and we've made a mess of it, what's happened in this generation. And we're trying to do the work of God on our own. Now listen, there's three things that I want to establish to you and that I want to preach to you on how you lost that said. First of all, I want to say these three things I want to establish. There is an indwelling power that lives in the hearts of the believers that enables us to carry out the work of God. I mean, most of all, friend, if you don't even understand that there's a Holy Ghost that lives in the hearts of the believers, then you can never get anything done for God because you're not even saved. He that hath not the Spirit of God is none of his. But we're not living in a day where the Spirit of God comes on us. But we're living in a day where the Spirit of God lives in us. You see, it's not a matter of getting in the Spirit. It's a matter of the Spirit of getting in you, friend. And we're doing His work from the inward man to the outward man. There is a Spirit of God that dwells in the hearts of the believers. I mean, friend, fellow, saved by the grace of God, has the Spirit of God. Now, don't fall out with me yet. I ain't finished with it. You stay with me now. I ain't finished with it. That ain't all there is to being anointed. That ain't all there is to having an axe head. That ain't all there is, friend, to doing the work of God. It don't stop when you get saved. Somebody said, I got everything I can get tonight. I got to say, no, you didn't. I mean, if all you got, so what you got tonight, you got saved, you sure have a lot left out, an awful lot of stuff. I mean, Peter told us how to get on our paces, that their paces virtue, never, and just keep adding, and stacking bricks, friend. There's a lot more than just what you get when you get saved. But you can't get another rest of it until you get that. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, oh, you get saved, then you get the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you something, you get the Holy Ghost when you get saved. Matter of fact, you can't meet Jesus without the Holy Ghost. How are you going to get saved unless the Spirit of God draws you? You can't meet Jesus till you first met the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you something, you can't know Jesus like you need to know Him till you get to know the Holy Ghost. It's beyond just meeting Him, and it's beyond just being saved. It's beyond just having an axe handle and a tree to chop on. I'm talking about having an armchair. I'm talking about having power of God. I'm talking about being anointed. I'm not just talking about eating grapes and drinking milk and honey. I'm talking about killing giants. I'm talking about slaying nations. I'm talking about having victory. I'm talking about waving a banner, friend. I'm talking about experiencing power more than feel-goodism. I'm talking about having power of God to overcome sin and overcome Satan and walk in victory. Amen. I'm not talking about just putting on the whole the helmet of salvation. I'm talking about the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day. A lot more just being saved, ain't it? But being saved is the beginning. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Romans 8:9 said, but you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man had not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Do you understand what this thing is we got hold of? I mean, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, He has a living in my life and in yours. And you think we can't have victory and have an axe hand and live in power and have the glory of God on our lives? We got resurrection living in us. Man, if it's something powerful enough to raise a dead man 3 days in the grave, that cut off again. It's powerful enough to get off speaks over sin and a living thing that dies there. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I know he's a talking about that crowd in chapter 11 of Hebrews. But friends, you know what a cloud is, don't you? It's like a steam. You can see it and you can sense it, but you can't exactly grab hold of it. That's like the Holy Ghost is, ain't it? I mean, I got a cloud of witness in here in the person of the Holy Ghost. So let us lay aside every weight of sin. That's not so easy. And run with patience a race that's set before us. If we've got resurrection power living in us, there's no excuse for us living a defeated life. There's no excuse for us not having an axe head. Amen. And there's no excuse for us not using the axe head that we have. So if you've been saved, you got an axe head. It is given to you when you got in. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, it might not be as sharp as it needs to be. But I'm glad the file of the Holy Ghost, the grindstone of the Word of God, and the preacher of the Word of God as He spins that wheel, will sharpen our lives and refine us in the blacksmith's fire. Hallelujah, friend, and make us sharp as we study His Word. And that axe head can be used for the productivity in the work of God. All right. Some more scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple with God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and as God hath saith, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ephesians 3:17-19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, that's my desire, is to be filled with the fullness of God. Amen. I don't want a teaspoon of casserole once in a while to heal my spiritual sickness. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep thee by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. 1 John 4:12 and 13, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. So a saved man's got an accent. He's got the Spirit of God. Don't say, not only is there an indwelling power that lives in the hearts of believers and enables us to carry out the Word of God, there is an indwelling that manifests itself not only in the presence of the Holy Ghost by virtue of the redemption that God's placed on our life, but by an anointing that enables us to worship God and work for God. What all does that mean? What that means is that God didn't just save us and put a Holy Ghost in us and make us feel good and help us overcome sin. But that He puts something in us that anoints us and enables us to go to work for God and be overcomers and to be victors and to be fruitful in the life we live for God. Amen. Everything you need to be a child of God is given to you by Him. And my friend, you'll get the more you need, the more He'll give. Hallelujah. Heard the story about a man goes to New York to the bus station. He says, I don't really need to go to Chicago, but said, I need to ship this bag to Chicago. He said, can you take it out to Chicago? The man at the bus station said, well, mister, says, you're probably better off taking it somewhere else. He said, we're going to make about 7 or 8 stops on the way. He said, we'll be glad to take it for you for a fee, but says, don't know if you want us to handle that bag that many times. He said, well, do you reckon that it would really hurt anything? The man said, well, I'll see you. He comes around the counter, Brother John, grabs the man's bag and throws it hard as he can down on the floor. He said, that's what it's going to happen when it gets to Albany. He picks it up and throws it down again. He said, that's what's going to happen when it gets to Akron. He kicks it across the floor. He said, that's what's going to happen when it gets to Cleveland and changes buses and slams it up against the wall. And said, that's what's going to happen when it gets to Chicago. When he slammed it up against the wall, the bag busted and everything, and it fell out. That man said, nope, I don't think your bag's got what it takes to make the journey. But I want to tell you, friend, every child of God that's ever been saved, by the grace of God, friend, along this journey is going to get thrown and kicked and beat on. And I'm glad God has put the wherewithal in every one of His children. What is necessary and what it takes to make the journey all the way home. Amen. Hallelujah. My daddy bring him cheap shovels home from ER snails they've already broke and use them suckers to broke off handles and things. Tape them together with rebar and such as that to try to use them broken handle shovels and the point on them and the tip of them slam more out and broke them too. And my friend, man, pull up a church in Alexis and won't buy a stinking shovel. Amen. Well, but listen here, friend. I tell you, God hadn't made His children with junk. And we hadn't got old bristled up brittle handles in us. But God give us an axe handle. And God give us an axe head. And God's give us His Word. God's give us His anointing. And we can live in victory. We've got what it takes to make the journey. We just need to put it to use. Everybody still with me? All right. I want to tell you something. Very few of us spend very little of our time. Very few of us have ever spent even very little of our time with our axe head being used to its capacity. You want to talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost? You know what being filled with the Holy Ghost is? It's when there's so much God in you, they ain't no room for you left. Amen, that's right. Now listen, somebody said, I remember the time I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something. I remember the first time that I ever got filled to capacity. There's been times I've been overflowing sense, and there's been times I've been half empty or half full, depending on if you're an optimist or a pessimist. But either way, it wasn't to capacity. But my friend, there is the capacity there to serve God. And by the way, every time I get filled to capacity, He enlarges my capacity. Amen. There's more ground, and there's a higher plane, and there's greater days to have in Him. Yes. Hallelujah. You can call this charismatic preaching or whatever you want to call it tonight, but it's still right. I mean, maximize your capacity. Quit living beneath your privileges. Quit doing about half of what God wants you to and about half of what you can, and start living like a Christian for Jesus. Amen. This indwelling manifests itself by an anointing that enables us to worship God and work for God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, "Now He which establisheth us with you in Christ hath anointed us, and He is God." 1 John 2:27, "By the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, you shall abide in Him." The anointing of God is the touch of the hand of God that enables the people of God to do the work of God. Have you ever felt His touch? It's more than just being saved. It's the hand of God that's touched the people of God to do the work of God. Amen. It takes an anointing to preach. It takes a calling and it takes an anointing. I want to tell you, if you're going to sing it, be profitable, it'll take an anointing. It takes more than a pretty sound. If you're going to be blessing the people and do what God wants you to do and fulfill your capacity, it'll take anointing. Teaching Sunday school, being a witness for Him, raising your children under the anointing of God, under the power of God, testifying, my friend, and the Holy Spirit dripping out of your fingertips. It'll take anointing, friend, from God. Amen. It's a touch of the hand of God that enables the people of God to do the work of God. 1 Samuel 10:26 spoke of a band of men whose heart God had touched. I want to be one of them, don't you? I want to be one of them. And so we know there's an anointing. There is an indwelling. We know that there's an indwelling. We know that there is an anointing. And then I want to say thirdly, by the way, I'm still introduction. The message ain't near as long as introduction. I've got to lay the groundwork. And then I'll tell you how to get your axe head back. But listen, friend, there is an anointing. There is an indwelling. And my friend, the anointing to worship God, it may be received. The anointing to work for God, it may be received. And it may be lost. We're talking about getting saved and unsaved right now. We'll deal with that some other time. That's a sermon for another day. I'm talking about the anointing to worship and work for God may be received and it may be lost. These people saved by the grace of God, but they've lost their accent. And they are no longer anointed. They are no longer used of God. They are in a dormant state in their work for God. They have lost their accent. A man can become spiritually ineffective. I want to tell you something. Somebody said, "Oh, so-and-so, he used to have a real ministry, but he's not as effective as what he used to be." That ain't because God's quit. That's because he ain't got anointing like he used to have. Somewhere along the line, he's lost his accent. Some of you used to shout. Some of you used to testify. Some of you used to have more power of God than what you've got now. Where's your accent at? Amen. I mean, this may be the result of sin, and it may be the result of slackness, and it may be the result of carelessness, and it may be the result, my friend, of coldness in the waves of life. But one thing or another, the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world and other things that are in has choked the Word and has become unfruitful in your life. When the sower sowed the seed, as a lot of it come up, but all of it didn't last. It all sprung up, but it wasn't all of it that last. Friend, there's a lot of folks that's come up among the thorns and different things that's choked out the anointing that's in their life. And rather than grabbing hold to the accent, rather than getting hold of the Word of God, rather than just running to Calvary and getting the anointing of God back on their life, they've thrown up their hands somewhere or another and sat down on the wayside and quit. And they haven't got anointing in their life, and they're living in defeat when they could be living in victory. They're living in humility and captive to Philistines. That's right. They could drink milk and honey. They could eat grapes the size of pomegranates. Instead, they're sitting in the middle of Canaan land. A Philistine giant is standing over their back, breathing down their neck, and they're thinking about leeks and garlics back in Egypt's land. Amen. When we can have victory. We can't have victory. Amen. You don't believe what I'm telling you? 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it in subjection. Now this is a passage where Paul said, I fight not as one that beateth the air. He says, I'm not running the race to obtain a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible. And then he said, I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached out as I myself should become a castaway. 1 Peter 2:19-22. A while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same as he brought into bondage. For if after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness, nor that they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the proof proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I'm asking you, friend, have you lost your eyesight? Are you hanging your head in defeat? Are you sitting on the sandy banks of Egypt, wondering if you need to cross the Red Sea and just go back where you come from, because life in Canaan's dealt you a raw deal? You lost battle after battle after battle to the Anakims and the Canaanites and my friend the Philistines and the Amalekites and the Ammonites and the Moabites, and you're just about ready to toss in the towel and give up, and you've just had about all you can stand, and you're living in defeat. And I want to tell you something. The accent's in the river, and you can have it again. The river, my friend's moving water. That's the time of the Holy Ghost. Woo! It's in the river, and you can have victory again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you lost your axe head? Have you lost your axe head? There are some things in this passage we need to learn. First of all, because you're under a Bible-believing church and pastor does not mean that you have an axe head. I mean, could you imagine a more Bible-believing, a straight preacher than Elisha was? Yet this man lost his axe head, didn't he, friend? Just because you're in a good church, just because we preach the Word of God, just because we got good Sunday school teachers and good singing and good fellowship, does not mean you can't lose your axe head. Just because you're actively working in the church or a ministry or a mission trying to win souls does not mean you can't lose your axe head. This man's a building a school for preachers, isn't he? Isn't that what he went down there for? He's working on the house of God, if you will. He's waiting away on the way to the house of God. Still, he lost his axe head. And so can we lose ours. Simply because you're called and commissioned of God for work doesn't mean that you have an axe head or can't lose it. Just because you're a preacher, just because you're a Sunday school teacher, just because you've got an anointing of God on your life today doesn't mean you'll always have an axe head. So don't you take that thing for granted. Don't you think that things will always be as they have always been. Amen. There's a lot of has-beens are sitting on the side of the road, their head in their hands, weeping because they lost their axe head. And my friend, they thought it would always be that way. But it's not that way. And for some of them, it'll never be that way again. So you better cherish what you've got. Do you want to know what it is to experience the anointing of God? Do you know? Have you known? Have you lost your axe head? If you have, what must you do? First of all, I'm going to give you four things you got to do if you lost your axe head to get it back. These are simple. We're going to run through them. These are simple, but I believe they're right. In this passage of the Word of God, 1 Kings chapter 6. If you lose your axe head, what must you do? First of all, you got to accept the responsibility for it. You've got to accept responsibility for it. I mean, whenever come time he lost his axe head, he looked around and said, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." He didn't say, "You know what? It was that stinking preacher right over there that's working on that log. It was that deacon that hurt my feelings. It was the preacher run off with the secretary or with the church pianist or with the organist or so-and-so that teaches Sunday school. It was that over there that talked ugly about my children. It was that one yonder didn't invite me. And a couple of them there out in the Six Flags. And the lake winning. I got my feelings hurt. And I'm mad. But if you lose your axe head, it's nobody's fault but your fault." Amen. It ain't God's fault. It ain't the preacher's fault. And it's not the church's fault. It's your fault. And you'll never get your axe head back while you're blaming everybody else for losing it. Amen. I mean, I lose something, and since you're not in here, I can say it. I misplace something, and I always put everything in the same place all the time, every time I put it in the same place. It doesn't matter what it is, I put it in the same place. Matter of fact, if I get anything new with a can, and I put it somewhere, it is there till Jesus comes back. It is not moving. That's just the way it works. So when you get some ants, you say, "Them stinking boxes need to be moved." I said, "Them's my boxes, and it's in my office, and that's where I want them to stay. I got things put where they are, and they're going to forever stay there. And if I ever do misplace something, I just know who's lost it for me. So I just been around picking it up, cleaning it up, and she's put it somewhere or another in a drawer, and she puts something in a new place every time. Yes, you see, she wants something new, I guess, around her. A new experience, but I can't stand it." But every once in a while, something will tie me up in the middle of what I'm doing. And you don't get to finish it. That you put it back in a place where you didn't get it from. It's just you didn't put it back at all. I can't find it. And I'm going to her and saying, "Where is it? Where'd you put it this time? I ain't gonna do it. I don't want it. Why do you always blame me for everything?" Is that the way it works? Some of y'all the situation's reversed. I mean, some of you it's the women and the men right the opposite. But you know exactly what I'm talking about. "Where's my socks? Where's my shoes? Where's my tie?" And we think they did something with you. Where they put something. But I'm telling you, friend, most of the time, you know what I find out? It's right where I left it at. It wasn't nobody's fault but my own fault. You hear what I'm saying, friend? As long as what I'm chewing on her and not retracing my steps and accepting responsibility for myself, then I'll never get it back. And when you've lost your accent, you've lost your victory, you've lost the anointing of God in your life, you're living in defeat, you're living in doom and gloom, and you're sitting with your head in your hands, and you're blaming the whole world. It's your wife's fault, and the church's fault, and the neighbor's fault. You'll never get your accent back. You'll have to accept responsibility. You're not going to come to God and say, "Jesus, I need to tell on Brother John. I need to tell on Brother Thomas." Not because my mama beat me or my daddy would never let me have a dog or my uncle stole my Twinkies. It's because I've not done what I need to do. It's my fault. And now I must accept responsibility. The devil didn't make me do it. Didn't nobody make me do it. It's my fault. If you've lost your axe head, it ain't because God don't want you to have one. It's because you've refused to continue to work with it. And you'll have to accept responsibility for it. Now that refusal may be by way of wallowing in sin, and it may be by way of slackness, may be by way of carelessness and lackadaisical attitude, but one way or another it's your responsibility. And you'll have to accept it if you're going to get right with God. Alright, secondly, not only will you have to accept responsibility, but number two, you'll have to weep over the loss. Amen. He said, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." Alas comes from a primitive root word expressing emotional pain in an exclamatory fashion until you come to realize your loss. Understand what a great loss it is. Somebody said, "You know, the church ain't what it used to be. And I don't really serve God like I used to. I used to walk with God. I used to go to church. I used to serve God. But they say it was such a lackadaisical thought, and the times are passing by as if there's a talking about the weather. I tell you, they'll never get right with God like that. If you've lost your axe head, if you're going to get it back, you'll have to come weeping to Calvary, begging God to intervene in your life, begging God for the power of God back on your life, and then you can have your axe head back. While you don't care, while you're living in your life of ease and Zion, God will not anoint you again. Amen. You can live in your dead, cold defeatism if you don't learn to weep over the state you're in. Amen. Did they bless when they were they ashamed when they committed a great abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither did they bless. I mean, we've come to a day where we're satisfied with coldness. We're satisfied with lukewarmness. We're satisfied with being half dead. We're satisfied with our works being half corrupt. We're satisfied with about a half a worship service. We're satisfied with a little from glory once in a while, when we ought to be looking for a great, no matter rushing wind, looking for God to move in a great way. We're satisfied with showers of blessings and sprinkles of rain, when we could have floods of grace and mercy if we just call on God. Well, it's time we come to weep over our loss. Weep over it. Are you satisfied that you're as close to God as you need to be tonight? Are you satisfied that you're as close to God as you've ever been tonight? Not as close to God as you've ever been. You're backslidden. If you're not, if you're satisfied with it, you won't never get the power of God back. My agency manager says until something changes, everything will remain the same. You chew on that just a minute and see if that ain't right. Until something changes, everything's going to be the same. And it's the same way in your life. Until you get broken hearted and tore up and dissatisfied about the shape you're in, you will never get your axe head back. You didn't get saved till you got tore up and broken hearted over the shape you was in, did you? I mean, you had to get a belly full of the devil's junk. You had to, my friend, get sick of the way you was living. You had to get tired of living in sin and, my friend, living in defeatism in order to get saved. And when you've been saved and you're once again defeated and you're once again about ready to give up and you're once again, my friend, living without an axe head and once more you're living in defeat and once more the battle has overwhelmed you until you're dissatisfied living like that, things will never change. They'll never change. The friend, after you've eaten enough grapes, drank enough milk, sopped enough honey with a biscuit of grace, you cannot be satisfied with leeks and garlics and melons again. Hallelujah. Amen. And I get out of Canaan from time to time, Brother Andy, and there's an awful lot of times I dwell on the wrong side of Jordan in Canaan. I mean, I'm in Canaan land, but I'm on the wrong side of Jordan. But I can't be satisfied living there. You'll have to accept responsibility. You'll have to weep over the loss if you're to get your axe head back. Number three, you'll have to admit that it was borrowed to begin with. Is that not right? Hallelujah. Alas, Master, for it was borrowed. Well, it wasn't mine to start with. It's God's. It wasn't mine. It's His, friend. I didn't earn it. And I didn't buy it. And I didn't get it because it was so good. It's God's. It's borrowed. Woo! It ain't because of preacher, not because of church. It's not because I'm a man of God. It's because of His grace that I've got an axe head. It's been loaned to me to use in the work of God while I'm yet in this life. And if I lose it, I've got to admit it's not mine, it's borrowed. David didn't say, restore to me the joys of my salvation. He said, restore to me the joys of thy salvation. It's borrowed. You don't own it. God does. Salvation's of the Lord. The anointing's of the Lord. The Spirit is the Lord's. And He's a dwelling in us. It's borrowed. It's borrowed. I mean, He says, This is not mine. It's borrowed. Furthermore, his pain tells us that he had not the sufficient means to pay to replace it. Amen. Not only have we borrowed the Holy Ghost, but we don't have the wherewithal to buy it back. It's not ours, and we don't have enough stuff to pay for it with. You're going to have to admit it's borrowed. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 18 says, "For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good things." This too, my friend, is where we are. It's not our own, it's His. We can't pay for it, and we can't earn it, and we can't buy it. It belongs to God. And God's loaned it unto us for His use, for His glory. You'll lose it quicker than quit using it for your benefit. And if you're ever going to get it back, you'll have to, my friend, admit that it's borrowed. Yes. That it's borrowed. Lord, accept responsibility. Weep over the loss. Admit it was borrowed to begin with. Number four, seek counsel of the man of God. Seek counsel of the man of God. Now listen, friend, you don't need to talk to a carpenter about an inoperable vehicle. You got a car won't run, you need to take it to a mechanic. Amen. You don't call a mechanic when your cow gets sick. You call a veterinarian. Because when your cow's sick, it's animal matters, not automobile matters. And so why is it you run down to the worldly's counselors, the marriage counselors and the financial counselors and Dr. Smilefungus and Dr. Spock and all the rest of them when you've got spiritual problems? But consult the man of God. By the way, I'm not big on all this counseling stuff for the man of God. Best way you can consult the man of God is right what you're doing tonight. Amen. And get seated in the house of God. Open your heart and mind to the Word of God. And if the man of God's the man of God he needs to be, and your heart's open like it ought to be, the Spirit of God will work with your heart and give you what you need and give you counsel to get your ass head back. Hallelujah. Oh, ask Master Friends Byron. He didn't call Gene Dixon on the psychic hotline. Ask Mom and Dad what they thought. He inquired of the man of God. You'll find more help from the preaching of the Word in the midst of your defeat than you will anything else. Somebody said, "I've just defeated. I can't hardly stand to go to church no more." My Lord, if you've ever needed to be in church, it's now. The only way you're going to get victory is get in under the sound of the man of God. Amen. Seek counsel of God's man. Heed the message of the man of God. Lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Amen. And then be a doer of the word, not hear only. Amen. Deceiving your own self. That's a prescription to success, friend. Amen. I mean, heed the word of God. He sought counsel of the man of God. God will send what you need to help you be restored. Matter of fact, He's doing it today if you'll just hear it and heed it. Some of you tonight to come in here, you was just about to ready to raise a white flag and surrender and let the booger man take over. Amen. And all the while, at the tips of your fingers, there's an axe head with power enough for you to live in victory the rest of your days if you just heed the voice and the message of the Word of God. Amen. And the Lord's trying to help you tonight. And He's trying to do something in you and to you and for you if you would open your heart and let Him do it. Have you lost your axe head? Number five, and I'm going to close. I'm going to give you one more thing. This may be the most important thing that I give you. It may be the most important thing that I tell you. All right, we've got to accept responsibility. Weep over the loss. Admit it was borrowed. Seek the counsel of God's man. Number five, remember where you lost it. How are you going to find it if you don't know where you lost it, Brother John? I mean, ain't the first question you need to ask yourself when you lose something? Where to last have it? Last had it's where you lost it. Amen. Than what I'm preaching. This may be the most important question that I ask you tonight in this message. Where'd you lose it? That not what happened here? The man of God said, "Where fell it?" Verse number 6. And he showed him the place. Where did you lose it at? Where did you misplace your axe head? I also ask this, and it's the most important question for us. I mean, what were you doing when you had it, and what were you doing when you lost it? If you're going to get it back, you need to quit doing what you're doing and start doing what you are doing. Isn't that right? Amen. Did you lose it at the honky-tonk? Did you lose it at the beer joint? Did you lose it at the dance hall? Did you lose it at that floozy's house? Did you lose it in a prayerless night? Did you lose it in a careless worship service? Did you lose it in a life without witness? Did you lose it in a prayerless night? Amen. Did you lose it in pursuit for money? And did you lose it in pursuit of success? Did you lose it while you sought popularity? Did you lose it while you looked for acceptance? Did you lose it while you sought achievement? Did you lose it while you sought possessions? Get back to where you were when you lost it. And there's we that you found it. Did you lose it? That's where it still is. If you'll return back to it. But if you're going to get it back, you're going to have to get back to doing what you was doing when you had it. And quit what you're doing now. You lost your axe head. Everybody still with me?
Yes, sir.
I know this has probably tore me all to pieces more than it has anybody else. This has been tearing me up 3 or 4 weeks. Have you lost your axe head? I'm talking about anointing and power of God. I don't mean just I'm saved. I don't mean just I'm going to heaven. I don't mean just the Holy Ghost indwelling me. All that's great. But my friend, if there's 5 levels of Christianity, and I'm not saying there is, I'm trying to make illustrations, but if there's 5 levels of Christianity and all you've got is just, my friend, saved and the Holy Ghost indwelling you, you're living 2 or 3 steps below what you could. There's a higher plane. A higher plane that I have found. Lord, lift my feet to higher ground. You can live in victory. Wave the white flag of surrender. You can wave the blood-stained banner of victory.
Amen.
You don't have to be scared of grasshoppers. You can defeat and kill giants. You ain't got to eat melons and onions and leeks and garlic. You can have milk and honey and grapes. If you'll, but my friend, use that said, get hold of it, embrace it, and live in Jesus. Amen. I'm going to finish with this. You may have to lose something to get the axe head back. Verse 6, and he shewed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. Now that stick means a log. The logs is what they're using to build a house with. It is a timber. Not talking about a little whittling stick. It's talking about a timber. He cast in a timber. How about that? He said all of them, now listen, look back in the first part of the chapter where it said, let us go, we pray them, Jordan, take thee thence every man a beam. And let us there make a place. In other words, we're going to load up these beams, these logs, and we're going to take them logs down there and build us a place to have church at. And here it is. He's lost his axe head. And Elisha cuts down a log that could have very well been used to build the church with. And he has to throw it in the river to get his axe head back. So that log could have been real valuable to him had he not lost his axe head. You see, you don't lose it and get it back and everything be just as it was. But a lot of times you'll have to lose something in the process. Matter of fact, to get that axe head back, you may have to lose something valuable to you. You have to lose something important to you. And I'll submit to you, the longer you go without your axe head, the bigger your log's going to be, the more valuable that thing you lose will become. Down a stick and cast it in the water. And they never got the stick back. Happened. Said he cut it down and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. That's the end of the story. They don't drag the log out. The log they cast in the water is lost. Have to cast away something to get your axe head back, but it'll be well worth it.
Amen.
You'll recognize the miracle when it's restored. You know what this man did? Said, "Oh, I lost that log," but he said, "I got my axe head back." Woo! You may have to toss some logs in the river tonight. You may have to cast your pride aside. You may have to give up your leisure time. You may have to quit that job that's a hindrance to you. But thank God it'll be a blessing. Woo! To get the ox head back.
Amen.
Woo! Happiest days of my life hadn't centered around a log, and it ain't centered around the house, and it hadn't centered around all these other things, but it's been about the axe handle and the axe head. Happiest days in my life when the axe head's been fastened safely onto the axe handle of the Word of God, and by the power of God, I took the Word of God and split logs at the house of God. I mean, them's the happiest days in my life, and it will be in yours. And if you're living one inch shy of that, you're living beneath your privileges.
Amen.
It's between you and God, what you want to do about it. Preaching, you come on the song. Lost your axe head. Lost your axe head. I could preach another hour on it. We hadn't really spent no time much talking about filling of the Holy Ghost. And with John and I have had a lot of talks about it. Talked for hours. With John, we hadn't ever exhausted the subject. Matter of fact, I could tell you from now till Jesus comes back what it's like for your heart to be so full it busts its buttons. Be so full of the Holy Ghost it busts its buttons. And I could not express to you how wonderful it is. I mean, tonight the world in turmoil and in trouble and difficulty. And I'm sitting on step at a little church in Bremen, Georgia. And my home put together, my family in good shape. My heart redeemed by the grace of God. And basking in the sunlight of the star of wonder. Hallelujah. King James Bible in my hand, and joy in my soul. Peace and happiness down in my heart. What in the world more could you ask for than that? Why wouldn't you want to live your life with an axe head? Why wouldn't you want to live in the power of God? Why wouldn't you want to dwell in Canaan, friend? There's nothing in the world worth losing that. Alas, Master, I've lost my axe head. By that, He's a saying, I'd give anything to have it back. I wonder about you tonight. What would you give to have your axe head back? Would you stand? You need to come do business with the Lord. You come. Power of God manifest in your life. Boy, it sure is good to live in it. Do you have it? Are you satisfied with it? You satisfied you're where you need to be with the Lord? Amen. You sing. You need to come do business with the Lord. You come.